Shalom aleichem, Rabbeisai, and good tovach. As we're moving into the last leg in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, started slichas, meaning even us Ashkenazim started slichas. Sfadim have already been added since the beginning of the month. We'll take out the next. The coming Shiurim, Bezus Hashem, to focus directly on the what we call Inyana Diyoyma, the subjects, the issues of the day, the matters of the day. Bezus Hashem, we're going to be moving into a new world in another week and a half. Hashem will be renewing all of existence, a completely new entity called Tavshin Pei Beis. And that is a process that begins with Din. It begins with the Yom HaDin. It begins with the Day of Judgment. And it'll be worth our while to study this a little bit, to understand what's going on, in order to understand how to properly relate to it and to maximize it. The first thing that we'll say is that one major call of the hour is focus. We don't want to just sail into it unconsciously. Yisrael Salanter said that it's paradoxical how you'll see how it's almost like you can gauge what a person's status is as regards what his standing is by the extent of how apprehensive he is. He said the more relaxed people are usually in a worse position. Whereas the people who actually can assume that they'll get a better judgment are much more apprehensive. With the simple understanding being that it depends on how well developed our spiritual sensitivities are. But whatever the case is, that's really call number one of the hour is focus. We want to be focused on what's happening now. We want to be living with the awareness that we're moving into Yom HaDin. And now let's see how to approach it. So if you'll allow me, bear with me, I want to delve a little bit into the deeper levels of it and then be able to get from that. How do we approach it, Lamais? So Din, in a general way, Din has this certain negative connotation. We almost make Din synonymous with punishment. The truth is that Din is not necessarily synonymous with punishment. Din also demands that if a person did a mitzvah, he must be rewarded duly. Because Din means justice. Din means that things ought to be set up right. Now that's where Din becomes a matter of punishment. Because if a person is deserving of punishment, Din demands punishment. The Midah of Din demands punishment. Whereas the Midah of Rachamim says, even though this is what ought to be, let's give it a stay, let's not. But let's understand the concept of Din at a bit of a deeper level, and then we'll actually understand how we can very much utilize the reality of Din itself for our benefit. And again, we're going to go a bit deep here. Bear with me. We're going to come back to practical conclusions. As we said, Din really means that everything is in the order that it ought to be. That's what Din means. Tit for tat, mida keneged mida, exactly what ought to be is. Now, I'm going to throw something out, and then we'll get back to the significance of it a little later, just in order to get everyone into the spirit of, oh, we're really getting esoteric here. Din has a word hidden behind it. What do I mean by a word hidden behind it? And again, I'm reassuring everybody, we're going to get back to more familiar ground, but I'm just laying things out right now. Din has a hidden word behind it. This is used in a lot of the, if you look at the Sfarim that deal with Kabbalah, but it's often done. Lashon HaKodesh is a very, very deep language. There's immense depth to Lashon HaKodesh. We'll just give one example of that. words have words that are hidden inside them. Every word in Lashon Kodesh has a lot of potency. You have to realize that. Lashon Kodesh is a live language. It's not just a way of referencing different things. I'm sitting here at a table, so the word table, T-A-B-L-E, and the way I pronounce them with my mouth, have nothing to do with this entity that's in front of me right now. It's just a convenient way of referring to it, right? That's what language is, basically. There isn't anything table about this table, right? There's no table inside it, right? Table has no, the pronunciation of the word table has no, if everyone would agree, we can also switch the word chair for table, it would work just as well. It's not how it is in Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh, the words, their pronunciation have and carry inherent connection. So now I just want to note another example of that. Din. Take each of the letters of Din, Dalid, Yud, Nun. Okay? Dalid, Yud, Nun. Dalid is spelled Dalid, Lamed, Tuf. We only pronounce the D, but really there's a Lamed and Tuf hidden there. We pronounce the Dalid, but we call the Lamed and Tuf the hidden letters. Okay? Yud is Yud, Vav, Dalid. So we pronounce the Yud part of it. The Vav and Dalid are the hidden letters. And Nun is Nun, Vav, Nun. That's how you spell Nun. So the Nun is what you pronounce. The Vav and the Nun are the hidden letters. So in the word Din, the hidden letters are Lamed and Tav, right? The hidden letters of Dalid, okay? Yud and Vav, Dalid, those are the hidden letters of Yud. And Vav, Nun, those are the hidden letters of Nun. So the hidden letters of Din are, forget it, I'm not going to repeat them because I'm going to lose track. But you get the idea, okay?
So what do they spell?
The gematria, what they spell is something incoherent. But the gematria of those letters is Malchus. In other words, that the word Malchus is hiding behind, kingship is hiding behind the word Din. What does that mean to us? It means a lot. I did not learn this in my very profound study of Kabbalah, which I have yet to get to, Be'ezras Hashem. I heard it from Rav Moshe Shapira quoting the Rama Mipano. Rama Mipano is a very profound Kabbalistic work. But this is the word Malchus is hiding behind the word Din. What does that mean to us? A lot. You know, in cartoons, how's this for jumping from... what happens in a cartoon if someone runs off a cliff? It's very different than what happens if a person actually does run off a cliff. Person in a cartoon runs off a cliff, he doesn't fall straight off. He runs horizontally about 10 feet forward. And runs horizontally about 10 feet forward. Then his feet suddenly start pedaling very, very fast. Remember Fred Flintstone, right? His feet suddenly start turning very, very quickly, and then he goes straight down. It's very neat. It's much neater in cartoon than in real life. But you know what? We can have an example of this in real life also. Let's say, Khalila, a car drives through a guard going down a hill. Okay, drives through the guardrail. No, I should say going up a hill. It drives through the guardrail, goes off. So it doesn't go straight down, right? First, it flies up. Afterwards, it drops. And that's a tragedy, right? Now you have a superficial level person looking. He sees a car fly off the guardrail. So Baruch Hashem, the car is okay. It's not falling. It's flying up. It's flying up. What a relief, okay? And then all of a sudden, something terrible developed. It changed course, and it started to drop. Okay, the man is shocked. It looked like everything was okay. It drove through the guardrail. It was fine. Afterwards, it dropped. But any of us see a car drive through a guardrail, chas v'shalom, we should never see that. You see a car drive through the guardrail, as far as you're concerned, you saw a tragedy the moment it breaks through the guardrail. It's flying up, you already saw a tragedy, right? You already saw a terrible disaster. So now, let's understand something. And Avera happens in this world. And Avera happens in this world. That's outside of the realm of Hashem's will. How could there be something that happens outside of the realm of Hashem's will? How could there possibly be such a thing? The answer is that what you're actually seeing is that. You are seeing something that does not really have a place in true existence. You're seeing a car that's flying upwards. Right now, it's not going down. There's a 3-second grace period where it can continue. A car that drove off a guardrail can continue to just go ahead. A 3-second grace period, right? Or the cartoon figure runs off a cliff. We give him a few seconds. He can continue going straight. It's all fine. No problem. Afterwards, it'll catch up with him. It'll catch up with the car that drove off the guardrail, right? So when we see things that are happening against Hashem's will, this is actually what we're seeing. We're seeing something that really does not have a place in existence. We're seeing a car that's driving up happily. It's off the guardrail. It's off the road. It's driving up happily. When reality kicks in, that car is a messed tangle of metal down at the bottom, right? That person ran off the cliff is just going to drop straight down. This is something of the smokescreen of Olam Hazeh. And it's the result of, so to speak, Hashem kiviyochel, backing off a bit and giving space. Giving that space. But that's mamish what it is. It's that grace period. If in the case of a guardrail, it's 3 seconds. So 100 years is not all that long in terms of the scheme of, in terms of the larger scheme. Now, where does that leave us?
If you're driving off and it could be years, actually, that period, or whatever, Hashem will give you a chance to turn around and drive back on, right? I mean,
That's true. That's the big difference.
You don't necessarily drop, right?
100%. This is what we're getting at.
Oh.
I'm going to put this together piece by piece. Yeah, please don't leave at this point, because okay, you'll just be left with the depressing message.
Yeah.
Right? We want to put things together here piece by piece. Tshuva is probably a more inherent reality than the Avera itself. But we're getting there, piece by piece. Okay. What is din? What is din? So again, there's room for Averis to happen as long as, so to speak, Hashem is standing at something of a distance. Call it Hester Panim, call it standing at something of a distance. There's room for such things to happen. When Hashem completely, if Hashem were suddenly to approach very, very, very close and zoom in, then that reality just can't really be. This is a reality of Hashem's will. Din is Hashem zooming in. Again, it's Midas HaDin. Like you said, Midas HaDin is not always in effect. And Midas HaDin leaves room. On the contrary, like you said, the grace period is for the purpose to utilize other Midas, right? But Midas HaDin is Hashem zooming in. When Hashem zooms in, so to speak, then all of a sudden those things can't exist anymore. And therefore, yeah, those things just fall apart. Midas HaDin is when everything is exact. When the truth is implemented in an absolute way. And that, the Sfarim tell us, Maral says this, the Ramban says this, it's an effect of Hashem drawing all the way close up in a frightening kind of way, potentially. But he zooms in, and then reality implements itself. And the reality is that there is no such thing as these other things, right? Okay, so now, this is what's going on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, everything is being decided. Now, it could be that on Matzah Rosh Hashanah, you'll still see the wicked continuing. Okay, but things are already set in a certain place. But on Rosh Hashanah, what's happening is that Hashem is kiviyochel zooming in. Now, this is a natural effect of what Rosh Hashanah is. What is Rosh Hashanah? Year, time does not go on straight. Year is called in Lashon Kodesh Shana. Shana also means repetition. The Shanin, right? Kara Vishana means to read something and to review it. Shana means repetitions from the term Shani, right? The time doesn't go straight. Time is something that has a cycle. There's a new year. Every new year is actually another beginning of reality. Reality is brought back into existence, or a new existence, if you put it that way. It isn't something that's just going straight. Hashem recreates the world, creates a new world, however exactly you'll put it, every year. That's what we say, Zayin Tchilas Ma'asecha. This is, Hashem is creating a new reality in us. We are going to be moving into, everything is going to come to an end in another week and a half, and then there's going to be a new beginning. In that new beginning, Hashem is going to be setting up His world. That's why Rosh Hashanah is the day of Hamlachas Hashem. If there's a new world, the most initial thing is, the most basic thing is that Hashem is the king of that world, and that's why there's a new existence. Number one is Malchus Hashem. That's also why it's a Yom HaDin, because Hashem is setting up that world. Hashem is focusing now, and He's planning out that world. Each world is its own Bria. Hashem is going to be setting up that world. Hashem is going to be allocating roles in that world. And those are that's obviously dependent on His plan. His plan obviously correlates to His will. And therefore, Hashem is Yom HaDin. Hashem is zooming in and saying, okay, are things in line with my will? Are things in line with my vision? Everything is now going to have to be implemented. We're going to have to set up this new year now in line with my vision. Okay, if we understand this, that Yom HaDin means Hashem zooming in, kiviyachol, so to speak. It means Hashem drawing up very close. Then we can then come and understand our great approach to Yom HaDin. The Ramban puts it down like this. The Ramban says something interesting. I can't explain what I'm about to say. I'll say it. This is apparently famous principle. I might be able to suggest explanations, but I won't bother. I'll just say it. Tkia is the straight blast of the shofar, the straight uninterrupted blast. That is Midas HaRachem. I'm not going to try to explain that. We're just going to lay it down as a certain given. This is what we see. Tkia is Midas HaRachem. Terua is Midas HaDin. The broken up blast is Midas HaDin. Again, why that's so, maybe we'll save discussing that for another time. But right now, we're just going to take that as is. Tkia is Rachamim, Terua is Din. How does the Torah actually describe Rosh Hashanah? The Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as a Yom Terua. A day of Trua, day of Din. But how does the Torah term it? The Torah says, Yom Trua yihyeh lochem. It will be a day of Trua for you. The term lochem often connotes for your benefit. It's going to be Din. And Din is something that could potentially be scary. But Hashem is saying, Yom Trua yihyeh lochem. It'll be for your benefit. Now, that Trua is not just a way of saying it's going to be Yom HaDin, but Hashem is instructing us to blow a Terua. So here the Ramban says, there's mamish something almost backwards going on. Hashem is advising us. Hashem is urging us, commanding us to blow a Terua. What does that Terua do? That Terua actually invites the Din. It actually invokes the Midas HaDin. Hashem is saying, you invite the Midas HaDin, and that will actually be to your benefit. It'll be a benefit for you if you can invite the Midas HaDin. Perhaps by now you've already picked up on where we're going. Well, let's understand this well. Let's understand what's going on here. What Hashem is saying is, there is going to be Din. I'm going to be zooming in. I'm going to be zooming in and implementing Din. Setting up the world according to where I want it to go. But I am giving you a very, very special opportunity. That is, instead of waiting for the din to hit you, you come and tell Hashem. We come and tell Hashem, you're going to zoom in. We are inviting that. We want that. We want a world where you're going to zoom in. We want you to be coming up close. We want that opportunity to get close. We want that opportunity to be that close with you. Even if it'll mean that we're really going to have to take a very serious accounting and do what we need to do. But the first thing is that we tell Hashem, you know what? We prefer, we are embracing the concept of a world where you are zooming in very close. We're embracing a concept of a world that's right under your scrutiny. We want that. We want that closeness with you. And whatever it entails, we're ready to bear. We're ready to bear that. We're ready to bear the fact that it's going to demand of us to take a serious accounting of what we're up to. But number one is, we're telling Hashem, so to speak, at Hashem's advice, we're telling Hashem, we want a world that you are close to. We want a world that you are close to. And that, Hashem says, is what turns the Yom HaDin into something that's going to be to your benefit. Hashem is not going to let the world drift hefker. Hashem is not going to let the world drift hefker. Hashem does very, very much want, the whole purpose of the world is that Hashem wants his beloved children to navigate that world successfully. Hashem is going to implement din, but at the same time, he's going to do everything he can to give us the tips, the clues, the aids that we need to make the most out of that din and to actually end up in a much better place as a result of that din. And therefore, you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, it's actually a very striking Lashon when he talks about the famous din that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah because of the solemnity of the day, because of Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim Psuchim in front of the books of life and the books of death are open in front of him. Right? The Rambam says that, I don't remember the precise Lashon, it's actually is worthwhile seeing exactly, but his Lashon is, it's in the Pirush HaMishnah, it's not in the Yad HaKad, not in the famous Rambam, it's in his commentary to the Mishnahs, Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. He says, Shehem Yimei, approximately, aim of a year, the days of awe and fear, tefillah v'avoida, days of prayer and service, umanais elav, they are days of escaping to him. Days of escaping to him. Where is the only way, place, where you can run away to escape Hashem's wrath? Is to him. Mimcha elecha evrach, right? That's the nusach. Mimcha elecha evrach. If I want to flee from you, I run to you. I run to you. So in other words, what's going on in Rosh Hashanah? What's going on in Rosh Hashanah is that first of all, we're coming and saying, perhaps we've made mistakes throughout the year. Perhaps we've made mistakes throughout the year. Perhaps we've messed up throughout the year. Perhaps we're not exactly where we ought to be. But number one is, okay, I tell Hashem, you know what? I prefer to get back close with you, to be subject to your scrutiny, to be subject to whatever you might deem you want to bring upon me, rather than to just stay in a reality where whatever, just drifting and whatever it is. And then Hashem says, if so, then Yom Tov Yelachem is going to be to your benefit, and I am going to work with you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to help you make it work. Hashem offers us all kinds of aitzes. Hashem is sitting as the judge on Rosh Hashanah, but at the same time, under the table, Hashem is telling us, do this, blow the shofar, that will very much shift things in your direction. If you're with me on this, if you're appreciating the fact that, yes, I'm going to be drawing close, you want to be a part of that process, you want to embrace my closeness, then I'm going to work with you to make it work for you, that it won't be something that will get you into deep hot water. And therefore, we come back to what's hiding behind the word din. What's hiding behind the word din is the word malchus. Din, if you just want to leave it at din and just say, oh, scary, that's it. Let's see, maybe I can hide under the bed. It's just going to stay din. But if you can connect to what's behind it, you say, I want to invite a world of Malchus Hashem. I want to invite a reality of Hashem being close here. Yes, I want to move my life up a level. I want to move my life up to the place where I'm living with Hashem in close proximity. Then on the contrary, we reach behind the din. We reach for the malchus that's hiding behind it, right? That's really the idea. That's really where it's, meant to get us. And we say we want to live in a world of malchus Hashem. We want to live in a world that Hashem controls. We want to submit ourselves to his control of our life. We can accept it all willingly. And we also want to dedicate ourselves to a life of having to live up to that, to living much closer to Hashem. And you know what? You know what? The truth is that Hashem has been demonstrating that to us over these last couple of years. The world is not going to continue drifting any which way. The world is going to be coming back under my control. Human beings are going to really have to start relinquishing their sense of control of this world. And we're being shown that right and left, right? If we thought Corona was such a massive lesson, but then besides that, how Hashem is showing from so many different directions outside of Corona. Now, this is not your world anymore. This is not your world. This is my world. We want to be attuned to that. We want to be, like we said before, we can either be fretting over it. We can either be kicking and screaming, not wanting to let go of control. Right? Remember the question that we were struggling with. It's so ironic how back then, right, the conscientious question was, is the vaccine going to dull our sense of Hashem being control that we gained here? Hashem answered the question for us, right? At the time, we were philosophizing. Now Hashem is telling us, don't worry, right? It won't. Let's be attuned to that. These are very, very live dynamics. And we want to be in a place of saying, Hashem, this is your world. We want to live in a world that's your world. We're happy to live in a world that's your world. We invite it. And it's very timely to move in that way into Shemitah too, right? That's mamish the essence of Shemitah. I'm not going to elaborate on that too much. I think it's obvious, but that's mamish the essence of Shemitah. It's that reminder of, this is my world, you're my guests, you're going to dance to my tune.
Well, I just want to make an announcement for ladies who might have missed this year and here. On the Beis Mechila website, Rav Milinovitz has recordings on Shemitah for ladies, where it's just an hour and a half shiur, and it's all the basics that people need to know, and they're really good. So they're posted on the Beis Mechila website. So anyone who wants the halakhas from a lady's viewpoint, it's there.
Mrs. Knoll is referring us, in case, going back to the halakha l'maisa of Shemitah, that... I'll add, but David also recently gave a series of shiurim for women.
I see it posted on the website.
That might not be up yet.
Yes.
You have also recordings from Rav Milinovitz, which are up there on the website. You look for them. Bottom line, halacha l'maisa for women.
Yeah.
Yashukayach. Okay, now, if we understand this, so if you were at the Beloved Malki yesterday, I won't repeat at too much length what I said yesterday. I'll just briefly put it into this perspective, that if we can really connect to this, then we can actually understand the phenomenon of celebrating on Rosh Hashanah. Celebrating on Rosh Hashanah seems like a paradox. We're told you don't say Hallel because it's such a scary day, and yet at the same time we're sitting down for a festive Suda. Sit down for a festive Suda on Sukkot. Why on Rosh Hashanah? Right? What are you celebrating exactly? But the answer is that no, part of what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is showing that, you know what? We are welcoming, embracing, and celebrating a reality of Hashem Melech, of Hashem taking the throne as the king of my world, of having to move myself up to that level of living in close proximity with Hashem. I want that. I'm inviting it, I'm embracing it, and I'm celebrating it. I'm sitting down for a Suda to celebrate the fact that Hashem is my king. And this all is what comes together to bring us to a place of, Yom Truah Yelochem. Yom Truah Yelochem. That Yom Truah will be a great benefit for you. Now, of course, you're going to have to follow up afterwards, making good on that. You have to tighten the system. We want to be, and that's why you follow up, that's the Simei Tshuva, after Rosh Hashanah, which as we discussed yesterday, I'm going to repeat briefly now, is the source of Tshuva. It's the root of all the Tshuva, the root of all that. And on Rosh Hashanah, we're not putting emphasis on the details, on the Al-Chayt, etc., right? But we're putting an emphasis on the root of it all. The root of it all is that we are telling ourselves, We don't need to wait for Hashem to force it on us. Hashem is giving us a reminder, and we're turning and running back to a world of Hashem Melech. We want it. We're excited about it. We're celebrating it. We want to live in a world of Hashem Melech. We want to live in a world where it's me and Hashem guiding all the aspects of my life and me dedicating myself to Hashem. Afterwards, we say, okay, if so, what do I need to be doing? What do I need to be doing in that sense? But first, to get ourselves back into that place, into that reality. And then afterwards, okay, we can go in one of two directions now. We can either work backwards and say, okay, what are the implications on the days preceding Rosh Hashanah? Or we can move forwards. What are the implications on the days following Rosh Hashanah? But it's really all the same point. It's really the understanding that therefore we want to be with that focus now. The days of Slichas, yes.
So what is the din on? Like, does the din go back on your year, or does the din on where you are at the moment? Oh. You're saying Hashem, come, make the din. Like, is it your future intentions? What exactly is the din
on? Okay, you know what? I just said I'm trying to figure out which direction we should go now. You just provided me with the direction. Yashar koyach. Question is, okay, so the way we're talking now, the tone is that the din is all about where are you right now? 1 minute. Don't we always talk about that it's an accounting for the past year? And the answer is that it certainly is an accounting for the past year. At the same time, and this is really the point of what we're saying now. It's an accounting for the past year. Therefore, you want to sit down and do tshuva. Do tshuva. You know, in a moment or two, we'll try to elaborate on that a bit in a practical way. But when we talk about the past year, that very, very much has to do with where you are now. Because where you are now is what frames how Hashem is going to relate to the past year. I'll give you an example of this. Okay, well, I'm just going in a third direction, but it's worthwhile. I'll give you an example of this. Gemara says that if a person is mekadesh a woman, and betroths a woman, you know that you can add stipulations to a kiddushin. You can betroth a woman with a certain stipulation, and then the kiddushin, the validity of the betrothal depends on, by the way, when I say the word betrothal, I should really use the word marriage. When we talk about engagement, it's not saying it doesn't really have a halachic weight. You can cancel an engagement without a get. But when we're talking about elus in the time of the Gemara, I'll just use the word marriage just in order to make it clear. We're talking about the first stage of marriage, what we call erusin in halachic terms versus engagement, erusin of our times, which is just like an agreement to marry, but it isn't actually marriage. So let's use the word marriage, even though, again, we're talking about the first stage. A person marries a woman, he says, on condition, and if you make a condition, then the validity of the marriage depends on whether the condition was actually true, fulfilled or not. He says, I am marrying you on condition that I am an absolute tzaddik. Now, in order to know whether that's so or not, so you're going to have to get his report cards, or I don't know if get his report cards, but whatever it is, how do you figure that out? How do you figure that out? So, the Gemara says something astounding. Doesn't matter. You can know this person's history, and you can know that absolute tzaddik is mamish, not the term, right? But the Gemara says, nevertheless, you have to consider the Kiddushin valid. Why? Because perhaps at this very moment, he resolved to change his life. Shemehir tshuva b'libo. Perhaps at this very moment, he resolved to change his life. All of a sudden, he's a tzaddik gamur. Now I want to note something. This is the point that Rav Misha Shapiro made, but it's really obvious. This person... What do you mean he resolved to make a change? Tshuva means there's a process to tshuva. There's vidui, you have to confess the things you did. It's charata, right? This person didn't actually do tshuva. But once a person made a change of direction, it frames everything about his past in a different light. There's a big difference between a tzaddik who has a virus in his record that have to be addressed, and the Russia who doesn't plan to address those averis. It's a matter of the same averis, but the treatment is going to be completely different. And The way Rabbi Yehuda puts it is, when a person resolves to put himself on a track of, as we're talking the terms we were talking throughout this year, I'm putting myself on a track of Hashem Melech now, and I'm going to try to do everything I need to do to rectify the past, which might be complicated. Whatever the case is, whatever's in my hands to do, I'm going to do. And Hashem doesn't expect more than that of us. We do what's in our hands. Hashem helps deal with the rest. That's something that deserves elaboration. Also, I hope we'll get to that business, Hashem, coming to you. Whatever the case is, Rabbeinu Yehuda says, once you decide that you're putting yourself on a path of improvement, of moving forward, then you're already credited as though you fixed it all. As long as you stick to that path, you stick to a path of fixing at my pace, at the pace that I can, Hashem says, that's it. You are considered a person who's been fixing it. That's how Rabbeinu Yehuda says. Rabbeinu Yehuda says there's two statements that Chazal say. Chazal say that a person who, you want to be a type of person who does more than he knows. That's a term that it says in Pirkei Avos. Chazal speak in the praise of a person who does more than he knows. And they speak denigratingly about a person who knows more than he does. How can you have a person who does more than he knows? Rabbi Nina says that what that means is a person who says, I am setting myself on a path of growth. I'm going to be learning. I'm going to be doing my best to implement what I learn. That's called a person who's already doing it all. That's called a person who's already doing it all. And therefore, yes, it is about the past. It's about the past. But how Hashem will view the past is very much going to depend on, and on the contrary, that's the whole purpose of the Yom Nirayim. The whole purpose of the Yom Nirayim is that Hashem says, you have a whole past behind you. It was a year of failures, etc. I don't want to wait till 120 and then start taking an accounting. I'm giving you a wake-up call now. You can fix it all now. You can fix it all now. You can make all those changes now. I'm here to help you. This is what's going on in Yom Nirayim. Yom Nirayim is not about Hashem sitting back and saying, I'm a judge, and I'm giving you the opportunity. Do what you can. Whatever you manage, whatever not. Yom Nirayim is about Hashem coming and saying, you have a past. I want to offer you the opportunity to move it all up to a higher level. I'm here to help you. I'm offering you my hand. Accept that hand. Take that hand, and I'm going to pull you up. That's what's happening now. So yes, it is about the past, but it's about Hashem saying, I want to view the past differently. Well, not necessarily differently. Baruch Hashem, we live good lives. We have mistakes. They need to be addressed. But Hashem is saying, I'm offering you the opportunity to give a whole different twist to the past. And I'm offering you the opportunity that I'm going to help you. I'm going to be here aiding you to get it onto the next track. That's what's going on here now. Okay, we are Namish. In the thick of this subject, we haven't tied it up. We're going to have to put some off more for next week. But what I want to tie up with right now is the following. And this is something that for me so much brings out the essence of what's going on. The way the Rambam puts it down is that if a person, this is meanwhile in simplistic terms, and we're not going to really spoil the whole thing now. But basically the idea is you have the people who are, they are mostly righteous, so they are signed favorably in Rosh Hashanah, tzaddikim, right? They're signed favorably in Rosh Hashanah. The wicked are signed for death on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, again, this is simplified. It says, those who are so-so, meaning it's an even balance. It's an even balance. So they are remain suspended for the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. That's basically all of us. They do tshuva, they're on the right track. They're signed for life. If not, then they will go in the other direction. So the question is, we're talking about a person who's half-half. That's how the Rambam kind of portrays it. Person whose majority mitzvahs goes in the right direction, person whose majority of erus goes in the wrong direction, half-half remains hanging. And then he has to do tshuva in order to be put on the right track. So the question is, why does he have to do tshuva? Why can't I give a shekel to tzedakah? And then he tipped it in the right direction. You want to move yourself to a place of majority of mitzvahs, right? So do a few mitzvahs. And you've tipped it in the right direction. The answer to this is how Bitzler Petterberger and others put it down, is that no, you have to understand what's going on these days. In these days of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, when a person is in that situation of, I might be here, I might be there, the essence of what's going on here is that Hashem is approaching you and saying, "You're wavering. Here, I'm opening my arms. Come, help. Let me lift you up. I'm inviting you. I'm calling on you. I want to move my relationship with you to a higher track. Dedicate yourself to this effort, and I'm going to pull you in, and I'm going to raise you up." So Larry Bitzel of Petterberger says it is that if a person just comes and says, no, Hashem, that's a little complicated. I'd rather give a shekel to tzedakah. We have 100 shekels to tzedakah, 1,000 shekels to tzedakah. That is something unforgivable. The problem is, the mathematical problem is that that's an aveira of such weight that you can't counter it with mitzvahs. Hashem is coming and saying, I'm inviting you, I'm going to help you out. I want to lift you to that higher level. So we have no choice but to say, okay, Hashem, I'm accepting that invitation. I'm taking you. And therefore, we come back to what the focus needs to be these days is, well, the focus needs to be focus. We want to be focused on understanding that Hashem is inviting us back to that closeness with Him. And that inherent in that is a demand to move our lives up into a higher level, to fix what needs to be fixed. But inherent in that demand is Hashem telling us, I'm going to work with you at your pace, and I'm going to assist your efforts. So if we can just boil it down to package it in terms of what is the focus right now. We want to be focused on moving toward that reality of Hashem Melech. Therefore, we want to be paying attention to the things that should be fixed in our lives. We should spend some time in these days just getting a general idea of what are my areas? What are my areas? What are the areas that I'm struggling with? All of us have our areas. If a person doesn't see any areas, there's one very effective aid to ask your spouse. Whatever the case is, if you mamish don't see any areas you need to improve in, you have to suspect that you are in a certain comatose state. It's almost, you may say that there's no such thing as a person who has no areas. Think about the people in your family. Or people in my family that perhaps I should put more effort into the relationship. If you know of somebody in your family who really needs to make changes, then you know what? That might be a good area for you to put efforts into, right? Into dealing with this person with more patience, et cetera. Whatever it is, to try to get an idea of where are my struggles? Where are my struggles? Let me put energies into, not too much at once, but to have identified, I'm going to be putting efforts into my relationship with this person. I'm going to be putting efforts to not forget Birkas HaMazon as often as I do. This is what they call Jewish woman in the kitchen syndrome, right? I'm going to put efforts into whatever the area might be that I know is something that, for me, this is an area of my own personal improvement and growth. I'm going to put efforts into trying to identify those areas and into working with them. Things that are not a step out of the day-to-day life, things that are a part of the day-to-day life. What are things that we can do to enhance our performance in our lives as Jews right now? Which again, the first place to check. But one of the first places to check is relationships. Emuna, halacha in the everyday areas, etc., etc. But to be putting in the efforts to have that focus. And also in general, use Rabbi Malinowitz, Zechayin Lerach's terms, we want to be operating at our best these days. Because again, Hashem is creating a new world, and we want to present our candidacy for the best roles we can get there. We want to be operating at our best, not to be different people than who we are, but to be tightening the system, to be operating at our best. Where Malinowitz put it was, to be trying your best. Because trying your best in the lives that we lead includes mistakes. Part of that is not getting scared by those mistakes. I make a mistake, I double my resolve, I come back. A lot to be said about that also, but we're finishing up now. But just give me a moment. So I think we've set our focuses in the right way. There's more to be said, but we're going to tie it up with this for this week. And now, yes, we'll take questions.
They talk about the books of life. You know, you want to be inscribed in the book of life. does that mean life here on this planet? Because I think of Rafa Linovitz, the call of La Rafa, who was taken young, who did tshuva, who was trying his best to be trying his best. But could you live beyond 120 every year you
tried to share it
today?
It doesn't deserve a one-foot answer. Let's see if we can. So we talk about being inscribed. We talk about being inscribed with the Buddha. So what if we see a person that wasn't? Sorry, I'll stop doing